welcome to Irreverent Testimony. And today we have a hot topic of birthright citizenship. I am Pierre, and my co-host here, as always, is Travis.
Hi.
And we are going to address the topic that's all over the news because Trump made it so, and whatever he says goes these days.
Yeah.
Get used to that. We're going to have 4 more years of that, right, where whatever he says goes. So let's dive right into it. You're ready for that, right?
Sure. Why not?
I think that's what this country needs. But anyways, let's talk about it. So the 14th Amendment, it was not really on the radar, I don't think, prior to this season.
No, now it's a topic because that's part of the Latino outreach that the GOP was talking about.
Oh, yeah, it's part of their campaign to appeal to the voters that they want to kick out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Trump said so, and he decided that it was going to be the hot topic, and so it is. So now everyone's talking about it, except for Scott Walker, who doesn't really seem to know what he thinks about it.
Well, he'll give you 3 positions a day, so, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Like Jenna Jameson. and so... So
much less fun to watch.
Let's talk about it. yeah, he's not quite.
I think Jenna can top that. 3 a day, come on.
Literally.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
God. did you have that one worked out, or was that spur of the moment?
That was totally off the head, I promise you.
Okay. So to speak.
So the other thing is now this new term that's being thrown around is anchor babies.
Yeah, I keep hearing that, and then I can't get the song out of my head from the 50s, Santa Baby.
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
So now, like, that's what I hear. And come Christmas time, someone will have to record
make
that.
Make a remix of that. Uh-huh. Yeah, we can do that. Put that on YouTube. It'll
right, and you have Jeb Bush saying it and then saying, oh, it's, you know, I didn't, you know, it's not derogatory. Anchor baby, anchor baby, anchor baby.
Yeah, honestly, I had not heard that term ever before. I don't know if you even.
Oh, I've heard it. But, I've heard it. See, you don't pay enough attention to right wing Twitter and blogs.
I guess not.
That's been with us for a long time. There's this belief, and it's not really based on anything, that millions of refugee women who are like ready to pop, like sneak in and. Dump their kid, and then, hey, it's an American citizen, now I'm here to stay. In reality, it's a very low number. It's like 5,000 a year or something like that. And in the second reality, it's not like poor refugees who are, you know, seeking asylum or sneaking over the border. It's actually like well-to-do people who will come to the United States, have their child. That child will automatically be an American citizen, and most of them actually leave. And most of them actually go back to whatever country they're in, where they're rich. And then when the kid is 18 or wants to go to college, you know, at an Ivy League school or something, then it's much easier for them to do because the kid is an American citizen. So that's actually the reality of what this whole phenomenon is. But it's a much better boogeyman to imagine, you know, hordes of pregnant refugee women having little illegal alien children that they will have to take care of or that are going to be mugging them or something. So,
yeah, the vans full of women who are like 39 weeks,
yes.
You know, due and they're piled in and they
oh not vans
you know, just scrust.
You know, Noah's Ark's full.
Yeah, yes, flooding the streets of probably Texas the most, right?
Because, definitely, you know, Texas.
That's where we are.
Yeah,
definitely Texas and everywhere.
Just like giant Royal Caribbean cruise ships full of pregnant women from Guatemala, just docking day and night, and then like sea turtles, you know, having their eggs on the shore, like that. That's what they picture. Yeah,
so
I don't mean
the baby
to,
comes out.
Yeah, I don't mean
the babies come out. In one hand they have an American flag, in the other hand they have a green card, and they all celebrate. Yay!
We're citizens now. And again, this is not to sound horribly racist. This is what the other side must imagine for this to actually be like a topic now, which isn't really a topic because Congress will never, no matter what its makeup. At this day and age, they're not going to repeal the 14th Amendment. So it's a big conversation about nothing, but it makes for great GOP talking points. And it's just like, wow, what's next? You know, why stop there? Let's just put all the brown people in camps, you know? Let's see who's going to support that. At least three or four of the candidates would, I would, you know, think.
Oh, we already know. I think they surely would. I mean, that's not less ridiculous than saying, oh, you know, Mexico is going to pay to put up a wall across their own border. I mean,
I don't think
that's going to happen.
No.
But, yeah, it's the same logic, like you said. That in their mind, this is exactly what's happening.
Right. And then pivoting to Trump and Trump's influence. What was it, last night or two nights ago? He went down to and had a old hoot nanny down in Alabama, where he said he was going to draw 80,000. It was really 20,000, but whatever. You know, it was a bunch of rednecks, and the reporters who actually went into the crowd and talked to people found like a whole lot of card carrying Klan members who were talking about shooting immigrants and white power, and like literally. I'm not being facetious. Like that's right. You know, and CBS News is not going to report that, but some of the reporters who did got it on record with you know, literally Klansmen and whatnot at this big Trump rally. So there's that. That's kind of where we are, and with everybody playing follow the leader on the GOP side, where do we stop? I don't think the screaming about anchor babies is going to be the end of it. I don't think we've hit the zenith of xenophobia in this campaign. I don't think we're even close.
Oh no, this is going to be apparently this is going to be the biggest issue for the next coming election season. I mean, this is it now. All of a sudden, this is immigration is the biggest crisis in our whole country. It's not ISIS. Or, you know,
no, and we've gone
economy or anything.
And we've gone 180. We've gone 180 from. Well, we need immigration reform to just immigrants in general are the big problem. There's just too many immigrants everywhere.
It's like the 1920s.
Right.
I mean, it's like what?
Right. And then Trump has sort of blaming everything and anything on immigrants. He even blamed like Ferguson and Baltimore on immigrants the other day, which I didn't even understand. And nobody really questioned him on it. And no one's really it's just like, whatever. Just throw it out. Whatever the problem is, stock market, you know, immigrants, global warming, immigrants. Yep. I don't know. I mean, Ebola, they tried to blame it on Mexican immigrants, which was really bizarre. But they did. That's what they tried to do, and nobody really called them on it.
Oh, and this is why you have incidents like what just happened the other day. You had there was a, you know, someone sleeping by the train tracks. You know, I think it was. I think it was in Georgia, somewhere in the South, and these, you know, two guys basically beat him to death. You know, someone who was there just asleep doing nothing because what they assumed was he was an illegal immigrant because, you know, he looked Mexican or he was brown. And they
it was in Boston,
they
right?
actually told that.
Yeah.
Oh, was it Boston? Really?
I think it was Boston.
Yeah, and so and they basically said, oh yeah, because we heard that the biggest problem in our country is illegal immigrants.
Trump
and
said so. Yeah.
Trump said so. And so, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? And you know, it's the same idea with the Charleston shootings. You know, you have people who are blaming everything in life, you know, on people who look different from them or you know, have a different background. So
and this poor guy that got beaten by the Trump supporters is getting much less airplay than the lady that got shot. In San Francisco by a guy who was not a legal or an illegal immigrant. He was a guy that got deported and just snuck into the country to do God knows what. So that was just like an international criminal on the run, and somehow that's an immigration thing, which you can make an argument about border security certainly by that guy, but immigration, it kind of has nothing to do with. It's like, you know, like a mafia guy going overseas and you're talking about immigration, you know. But be that as it may, that's where we are. Foreign-born immigrants are the boogeyman, and it's going to get, as I've said, I've been saying a million times, it's going to get worse before it gets better, especially as Trump continues to have the stranglehold on the primary, which doesn't look like it's going to abate anytime soon. Apparently, he's gaffe-proof. The crazier the shit that comes out of his mouth, the better, apparently. And nobody seems to know how to deal with it. Jeb certainly doesn't. Scott Walker is kind of looking like a big joke at this point. Rand Paul is in all kinds of trouble. Rubio's there. But I don't know. I'm still not convinced Trump is going to be the candidate, or even if he's going to see it the whole way through. I'm a little less convinced of that than when we talked last week. But Trump being the kingmaker, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Do you?
I'm not changing my prediction quite yet. It's still pretty early.
But the conventional wisdom was Trump's going to say or do something that's ridiculous, and that's going to be that. And
well, that's all he says and does. Everything he says is ridiculous.
Right, exactly. What could he say? What scandal could emerge at this point? People know he was.
But it's cute now, and it's good for headlines, and people think it's funny. But I mean, really, think about this, we can't go without mentioning, who I'm going to talk about, the candidate. Don't make me say it.
It could be one of many. I'm not even sure who you're alluding to.
These nuts.
Because some came in the mail today.
Yeah, I did.
These nuts.
These nuts can get 9%. Doesn't that go to prove that people really don't give a shit who they're voting for or saying they're going to vote for?
People don't give a shit when somebody calls them for a poll on a Tuesday night and they giggle because they can press 9 for D's nuts. But when it comes to who's actually supporting,
it should be too, shouldn't it?
If D's nuts held a rally, 1,000 or so ironic hipsters would show up, and I'd probably be one of them, and it would be fun. But it's not going to be like passionate Klansmen and like the lady in that picture who's my Twitter header now that some guy brilliantly photoshopped on every single person in the crowd. A really excited lady holding out her baby, which is like the greatest photo I've ever seen. But
That's good.
D's nuts is not, unfortunately, is not a real candidate. Donald Trump is, apparently.
Here's my thing. I know that, some of the lunatic, batshit, crazy right wing, the Klansmen and the people who hate all foreigners, yes, those people will actually go out and vote, and they might vote for Trump. But there's a good percentage of those people who, Trump, he's the crazy asshole on TV who, hates everything and he cusses at people. How many of those people, which I, in some sense, are similar to these nuts voters, are really going to get out there and vote? And if they do go out and vote, that they're really going to vote for him?
Well, I'm glad.
It's going to wear pretty thin. If it comes down to actually voting, some people actually have somewhat of, a conscience, and they know he's not president material.
Sure. That's why he's only got 25% of the votes, while the other 85 candidates are each, fighting for the rest of the pie. But as long as there are still 85 candidates in the race, there's only one guy who's exciting a majority of the base, and for the very reasons that we find him repugnant, in that he's the only one in their view who's brave enough to say the Mexicans are dirty rapists and anchor babies and all this xenophobic crap coming out of his mouth. That's what they want. That's what the base wants. And the especially the Beltway Press and the mainstream media have sort of pretended for as long as they possibly could, like they treat this hardcore right-wing base of the GOP as something other than it really is. Like you don't want to piss, stir the hornet's nest and call them anything other than, quote, conservatives rather than, racist pieces of shit. But it's getting harder and harder to do that now. And I remember going back, because I've followed politics since I was a kid. I didn't understand it, obviously, the way I do now. But I remember back in either 88 or 1992, one of the years Pat Buchanan was running, and mm-hmm. there was – this was before MSNBC and Fox and the internet and everything. So this was like NBC Nightly News was doing like an expose, like who are the Pat Buchanan supporters? And they go out to like the some you know farms in Alabama or Georgia, and it's like literal Klansmen. And they're like, I like Pat Buchanan because he wants to kick out all the immigrants. And I actually felt kind of bad for half a second because – I'm like, man, this is such a hit piece, and you know the media is just basically ended his campaign. But you know, as I got older and came to understand what Pat Buchanan is all about, it was actually a pretty accurate description of where the core of his base is. And
well, that's funny. The perspective for you, it's like you slander almost to show the his supporters, but they're actually showing you know the reality of what it is. You know what I mean? They're exposing the truth.
And they're still the mainstream media and the Beltway Press is still very cowed doing this, because you remember a couple years ago when the Homeland Security chairperson said, you know, we really have to worry about right wing terrorists, and Rush Limbaugh et al. Were up in arms and screamed about liberal media bias, and people actually bought it, and they had to like kind of walk it back. Where you're sort of not allowed to call racists racists because something liberal bias. But it's the longer Trump is in the game, it's going to be harder and harder to do that when you literally have people at his rallies yelling white power and I hope he lets us shoot immigrants on the border. I mean, where do you go from there? How much more can you pretend that you know this is good old left-right American apple pie politics and just call racism and bigotry what it is?
Well, and that's true. I mean, it's we live in a reactionary society. I mean, something basically really bad has to happen in order for something to, you know, to be done about it to correct the problem. You know, mm-hmm. People have to die. In other words, it will take you know a mass killing or some sort of a tragedy before people pay attention. Say, oh, maybe it's not good to you know try to catapult immigrants across the wall, you know, back to Mexico, and maybe we shouldn't be shooting everybody who's brown. You know, it's that kind of mindset where people can't even see that.
There's a good amount of the population who's just kind of going to blow in the wind, and if the economy's bad, they'll go against the incumbent, and if you know something happens here or there and whatever, they're not necessarily hardcore racist or not racist. They just don't really pay attention and whatever the talk is of the day they'll go along with. But there's a hardcore racist element that is going to be harder and harder for people to deny is the core of the most politically active GOP base. Now, that's not saying that represents the majority of conservatives or Republicans or Southerners or whatever, but the most politically active core, hardcore people who you know are going to show up and mobilize and be grassrootsy, whatever, there's a lot of these people among them. There's not any getting around it, and Trump is shining a big angry spotlight on it that it's going to be harder and harder for people to just deny anymore. So, you know, in a way, it's kind of refreshing. Like, hey, now the cockroaches are coming out of the light, and look, they are what we thought they were.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the problem that they're having as a party, which is why it's so unfavorable, you know, opinion wise, you have to be careful who you associate with, because you can't try to appease that base, like you're saying, the hardcore right wing, the racist, mm-hmm. you know, you can't say that we're okay with that. And then the Tea Party, yeah, we care about their vote, but we don't want to come out and, you know, and say that we agree with all of those things. I mean, you can't have it both ways, in other words. And so
right. Well, as long as Trump is leading and people in Bush's camp and Walker's camp and Rubio's camp get more and more nervous about him leading, are they going to try to get to the right of him on this stuff? And then where are you left with? Are you going to be left with like four Pat Buchanans fighting it out for a hopeless cause? I'm not sure. And I know that Bush is playing the long game here, and he's not really too worried right now. I'm sure some of his advisors are getting very skittish, but whereas Cruz is playing a much different game where he's you know, following Donald's coattails and just figuring if and when he bows out, if he can pick up a good chunk of them, then he'll be in good shape, mm-hmm. and he's right. It's a smart move on his part. But that's kind of where we are, yeah.
Well, so let's talk about that because we have still about 85 candidates, as you said. Let's kind of see who's for and against it because, yeah, right now, and aside from Scott Walker, who doesn't know where he is.
literally.
Okay, the 14th – yeah, sometimes literally. Okay, so the big issue here, the 14th Amendment, is not just about birthright citizenship, but that's thing people care about right now.
Right.
Okay, so the thing that's causing the big uproar says that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So bottom line is if you're born here, you're a citizen.
Right, if you're on vacation from Hong Kong or Timbuktu or Montreal or wherever and you have a kid in Dallas, they are a citizen of Texas and the United States, much to the chagrin of most people in Texas. That's basically what the 14th Amendment says. Exactly.
Yeah. So, and it's been around for 150 years.
And Western democracies have the same thing, basically.
Obviously this began because of, civil war, civil rights movement, rights of African Americans after slavery, and mm-hmm. it was partially a response to the Dred Scott case, which is something that sounds like a decision that could have been written by Scalia. But at the time, they were also pretty much more concerned about like Chinese immigrants and gypsies,
sure,
not so much Mexicans.
Absolutely,
obviously things change over time.
Well, didn't Jeb say today that the whole anchor baby thing is really about Asian people? He said something like that, which was just like, what? What are you saying? Is that supposed to help?
I think he's pretty much grasping at straws now. He's trying to not associate with Trump, but he's also trying to not disagree too much.
Right.
Because he doesn't alienate
those
voters.
He's trying to be anti-immigrant while still pretending to not be anti-Hispanic immigrant somehow.
It doesn't work. So
no, he literally said that. He look it up. He said something like, "Oh yeah, no, the whole anchor baby thing that was about Asian people." And I was like, "What is this? The Onion? What's going on?" But no, he said that today. So there you go.
It gets crazier every day.
Every day, doesn't it?
Yeah. And by the way, just to finish the whole anchor baby thing, I really had not heard that term before. I honestly thought it was about like sailors who had illegitimate children when they were on shore leave. Like, so
that makes
I
more sense, doesn't
know.
It?
It to me it does. but I guess I see where it comes from. All right, so yes, Jeb did say that. He says that it's not offensive because it's talking about Asians.
So then it's not offensive to Asians either if it's about Asians?
The growing phenomenon, did you know this was a thing, of groups of Chinese women who are paying agencies to bring them to the U.S. Because that's a big issue.
To smuggle them across the Pacific?
Sure. so he's okay with it. In other words, I think he basically is saying like, yeah, I can use that term whenever I want because I'm not talking about Hispanics.
He's talking about kind of his Chinese. You know, he's like,
yeah, which so
like,
I guess
without,
he's not worried about the Chinese.
Without going on to say like, look, we can all agree that we don't like them, which is sort of like in Trump's corner because Trump is slamming the Chinese left and right. And Scott Walker said today because of the Chinese stock market crash, we should disinvite the president for a summit or something that didn't make any sense in any sort of train of logic of a non-psychotic person whatsoever.
I think in this case, it's communism is a red herring, kind of like in the movie Clue.
It's not even communism, is it?
I don't know.
Because the whole problem is that their booming economy is all of a sudden not so booming. And you know, that's having ripple effects. But we'll get to all that stuff in the second half with this latest stock market panic.
Yeah. All right. So with all that out of the way, the 14th Amendment, at least the birthright citizenship part, we obviously know about Trump. He's the one who's against it the most. Ted Cruz, ironically, whose parents are Cuban and he himself is Canadian, he's right there following and stuff because, like you said, at this point, he's pretty much a parrot on the shoulder of Donald Trump. Or I guess it's the eagle. I don't know.
taking it.
Ben Carson, not surprisingly, is against it.
I got a good Cruz story. Keep going.
I don't even know if he has like human empathy at this point. I think he's pretty much just against like people. He's okay with waterboarding and torture, and he's not okay with immigrants wanting to live here.
Sure, whatever.
Let's see. Scott Walker, we've already talked about.
Yeah, God knows what his position is.
Who cares at this point?
Right.
Rand Paul's against. Santorum, of course, is against. Lindsey Graham is vehemently against and always has been against anybody who's not from South Carolina.
Right, we can pretend he's still running, yeah. That he's still a candidate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, technically. And the one I think is the most funny in a actually kind of sad way is Bobby Jindal, who I guess himself is technically an anchor baby. No,
I don't remember the full story on him. I don't think so. I think his parents
are immigrants, aren't
they're
they?
They're immigrants, but I think they were naturalized and everything before he was born. I don't think they were just visiting when he was born, but I'm not sure about that. I get all these assholes confused at this point.
Well, that's fair, but again, it isn't. We talked about this last time with the whole idea of, well, the same topic really, immigration. How you could be so against immigration if you are yourself an immigrant.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, but that goes without saying. These people have sold their soul mostly to do anything in politics, but now to run for the GOP presidency, and your parents were from another country, you just have to kind of disavow yourself, which basically Marco Rubio has done. Marco Rubio is actively campaigning against his own existence as a presidential candidate and citizen of the United States, which, okay. Why should that surprise us? Those of us who are paying attention now, Jindal is against his own family in some ways on this. I'm sure. Even Santorum,
well, Jindal definitely.
I think Santorum is only second generation or so from Italy or something, from one half of his family. So sure, yeah, why not?
The Jindal doesn't surprise me. What I've seen is Rubio has not come out against it. He's pretty much
no. He kind of did. He did, and then he kind of walked it back, and he kind of weaseled, and
That's probably a better way to say he hasn't come out firmly, maybe on either way for or against it. Weasley is probably the best.
No, he did. He did say the other day he's not for repealing the 14th Amendment, but he said some things the day prior that sounded like he was. And we're going to be playing this game forever. This is it's etch a sketch every day with these idiots. So try to follow the bouncing ball, and what the hope is, people will be confused enough to not pin them down to a hopelessly horrific racist point of view.
Yeah. Bush, the same way we already talked about.
It's the Chinese, right?
Yes, please vote for me, all Hispanics. I love you. I know how to speak Spanish, but build a wall.
Build a wall. No, against the Dream Act. Some sort of kind of comprehensive immigration reform, maybe, sort of, not really, but – I hate the Dream Act and whatever.
And please vote for me.
And please vote for me. Yeah.
Exclamation.
question mark.
The ones who have kind of said, the ones who have kind of said that they're not against it, or at the very least they've said, just leave it alone. Of course, they won't go so far as to say, we support immigration. But Fiorina, Gilmore, and Kasich.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, to me, that's a sign that the least crazy or the somewhat most reasonable of these is Kasich, because he, for me, tends to come out more on the right side of some of these issues.
Kasich's starting to throw the crazy bombs. I think the other day he was like, the teachers shouldn't get vacation and lunch breaks because all the education problems are their fault. So.
All right, well, that just lost any chance of voting for me. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. There's plenty of crazy mixed in there, but Yeah. Again, we're talking relatively speaking. When you're comparing someone to, say, Ted Cruz, you know,
or
it,
Donald
it's hard
Trump,
to,
then Kasich looks sane and reasonable by comparison. Sure, that's
exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. By comparison.
Right. Right. He coincidentally only has 3 or 4%, but yeah.
Yeah, well, that, there you go, and that's why all these others are on the other side. It's not doing, of course, Bobby Jindal any favors because he also has like 0.3%. So I don't know who he's appealing to.
Nope. You got me. I would say by this time in about 2 weeks we're gonna have a solid handful less candidates. Maybe we'll do that at the end about who's the first shoes to drop, because I got some educated guesses.
All right. And then not surprisingly, of course, Martin O'Malley, Bernie Sanders, and Hillary Clinton are
they don't
in
want
favor,
to repeal the 14th Amendment? Really?
No, at least not, right, not until their numbers start dropping.
What about Lincoln chafing? Is Lincoln chafing?
The only other candidate I know anything about is D's Nuts.
And both front runners overshadowed by
say it.
D's Nuts.
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 What?
D's Nuts.
First name is D's.
And he is in favor of...
What are D's Nuts' position?
That's a loaded question. I'm going to say hanging low
on your
slightly
shoulder
to the left. Yeah.
For everybody's information, we have reached out to D's Nuts for to join us on the podcast. Unfortunately, we haven't heard anything back yet. I'm sure Mr. Nuts is probably inundated with a lot of requests right now, so he's maybe sorting through them, trying to figure out if he's gonna.
But we are hoping to break an exclusive, and I'm still holding out hope, just so you know.
Yeah, me too, but nothing yet.
That's
the only candidate we have reached out to that we're interested
you know
in
what?
Speaking to is D's Nuts.
That's true. You never know. I think at this point, you know, maybe Bobby Jindal would say yes, just in hope of reaching anybody.
If somebody wants to talk to him. Maybe Lindsey Graham, too.
Lindsey Graham, yeah.
I'd much rather talk to D's Nuts, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah, I could take that both ways. All right. I don't think this is a topic that's going to go away because this is going to be a thing for a while. And even after Trump decides he's tired of it,
this is what the whole GOP primary is kind of about at this point. We haven't even gotten to gay marriage and gay rights yet. We haven't gotten to a lot of economic stuff, really. We haven't really gotten to Iran, so pretty much it's all been about the immigrants so far.
And sadly, I mean, you know, if you have to listen to someone who, you know, is slightly reasonable like Bernie Sanders, you know, say, why are we talking about this all of a sudden? Why is this the hot button issue when, you know, the economic discrepancy between classes is growing bigger? We have a lot bigger problems than immigration and immigrants who, you know, by all accounts aren't all rapists and killers and actually do just want to come here and work and live
and have a better life. How dare they?
But that would make it sound like America is not, you know, falling in total disrepair and in need of a makeover that,
well, no,
you know, only GOP can provide.
In some ways it is, but not in the ways that are going to benefit conservative policy in any way. We'll get to all that more heady stuff at some point. But we should probably take a break, and we have a surprise. There's a surprise press conference that we have been granted access to, and we're gonna be bringing you that in the second half here. Just sort of drop that bombshell. Unfortunately, no. But it is somebody very, very important.
I think you have us intrigued.
Welcome back to Irreverent Testimony. We are going to go live now. This is an impromptu press conference where Donald Trump is laying out his actual policy positions. Pierre, it's pretty exciting that we got access to this.
Yeah, no, let's listen in. I think this is something that the public will definitely be interested in. It might shape the policies of the topic we've just been talking about for the future.
So, all right, well, Trump's coming to the podium, so let's check it out.
Hello, proud Americans, women, and others. It is me, Trump. And today, Trump is finally ready to answer some specific policy questions to address what Trump's policies are towards important policies and things of this sort. So go ahead and ask Trump your questions, and if they're not stupid, Trump may be generous enough to answer them. So as they say on the border when Trump is president, fire away.
Mr. Trump, previously you have said that you had a wonderful plan to defeat ISIS.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are you ready to explain some specifics of that plan now?
You know, ISIS are very bad. They are very bad men. Trump has a plan to deal with ISIS. I will go right up to ISIS and I will say, ISIS, you are very bad people. You behead people. And you don't play well with others. Also, to be frank, you are terrible dressers. Thank you. My plan to deal with ISIS truly is wonderful. But to start with, I will go to ISIS and I will say, ISIS, you're fired. Thank you, yes, thank you. I deliver that line like no other.
Now, Mr. Trump, you have said Mexicans are rapists, drug dealers, criminals.
Only Rosie O'Donnell. Thank you, thanks again. Trump is a wordsmith for the ages.
Right, but do you know how a cogent immigration policy with specifics to lay out to the voters?
Yes. Yes, I do. The first thing we need to do is address this terrible porous border that Obama and Congress have allowed to continue, which lets in all the wretched scum and villainy from Mexico and Baltimore. It's so gross and disgusting, it makes Trump get on his hands and knees crawling around his luxury penthouse, which is beautiful, by the way, retching and vomiting uncontrollably. To think of all that awful human scum that Obama and Hillary Clinton allow to pass through unmolested every day by the hundreds of millions. So the first thing I will do is go to that porous border, and I will say, border, you're doing a terrible job of keeping illegal immigrant scum off of our pristine country. Border, you're fired. Thank you. Romney said he liked firing people too, but only Trump can do it with this panache.
Mr. Trump, the Chinese economy is causing the stock market in this country to plummet.
Mm-hmm.
You have said repeatedly that China is hurting our economy.
Yes.
What policy would you unveil to address this?
China is not sending their best and brightest. They are sending drugs. They are sending crime. Their drivers are terrible. And they're bringing those problems with us. And I assume some of them make nice wonton soup. But the reality is the Chinese manipulate their currency and other awful things that makes Trump very, very disappointed. I will go to China and I will say, China, your currency manipulation and cheap exports are hurting American industry. China, you're fired. Thank you. I'm very rich.
Mr. Trump, with all due respect, none of this sounds like any sort of coherent policy. In fact, it all kind of sounds like sound bites from your previous speeches and TV shows.
You're fired.
I don't work for you, Mr. Trump.
What's your name, son?
I'm Fred Johansson, here with the Washington Sun.
Well, how'd you like a job with the Trump campaign? You seem like a bold up-and-coming journalist. Trump could use a guy like you. Let's say double your current salary. Sound good?
Wow, really?
Yeah, welcome to the team, Fred. And now, you're fired. Trump giveth it and Trump taketh it away. I like winners. I like Jimmy Carter.
He's got cancer.
I like people without cancer. Any more questions?
Well, that wraps up our coverage of Trump's first policy press conference. Very eye-opening, didn't you think, Pierre? We learned a little something.
You know what? I have to agree with the public. I think it's refreshing to hear someone who just speaks their mind and says what they think.
Yeah.
So I can get behind a candidate, you know, like someone who's honest and actually wants to make America better, which is why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders.
Ah, yes. I'm with you on that. Yeah, so that was Trump's presser laying out some of his policy proposals. Speaking of people jumping in and out of the race, heard something by the way, you know, I'm not 100% sure that was the real Trump, but if it was a Trump impersonator, he's the best I've ever heard. I don't know about you.
There's no way that was an impersonator. I mean, come on. Yeah. That was very obvious.
You know Trump when you hear it, yeah. Word on the street is Joe Biden might be getting into the race. What do we think or not think of this?
Well, speaking of people who say things before they think, Joe was the original Trump, wasn't he?
Right.
Not crazy and racist.
I was going to bring that up. You know, everybody, because all the speculation I've been listening to the last couple of days where there's all this Biden rumors is that, oh, he wants to get in the race because he doesn't believe in Hillary or something. And, you know, that might be true, but think about it. What's Biden's biggest problem, according to everything we've ever known? What is his biggest hindrance? What is he always getting in trouble for?
Inappropriately touching women at dinners? No. He just looks at them a little creepy. He says things that are
gaffes,
not well,
right?
Thought out.
He's a quote
gaffes,
he's a quote
yes.
gaffe machine. Right. In the age of Trump, that apparently is no longer a thing. Biden has said seems pretty tame by comparison. I mean, and it's always from Republicans, right? They laugh like, oh, that Biden, he's our best friend. He's such a gaffe machine. And it's like, they can't really say that with a straight face anymore, can they? I mean, that's not even a critique anymore. Nobody tops Trumpy with the gaffe stuff.
Well, it actually makes me think, because the more this at first, you know, there was talk, you know, last couple of weeks about, you know, and him running, and, you know, at first it just seems like why would he do this? He's just trying to screw over Hillary for whatever reason. That doesn't really make sense. But, you know, people are thinking his time has passed.
No,
you know,
I don't think he's trying to. I don't think he's trying to screw over Hillary. I think that, the longer this stupid server thing goes on, which to me is a big nothing burger, but it's kind of just out there in the ether and it's driving down her favorability numbers. It's not hurting her in the polls, to be perfectly honest, even in the head-to-head matchups, really. No. But it's kind of out there, and if like we talked about, they do find that secret email that says, you know, let Benghazi burn or whatever they think they're going to find, then somebody will need to step in who's maybe more viable than Bernie Sanders, and Biden thinks he could be that guy, maybe, as do a lot of big money donors. And there's this thing that, you know, the Bidens and the Clintons, while they're not acrimonious, are not really besties. They're not really tight. So I don't think the Biden family feels any sort of deference that he needs to stay out of Hillary Clinton's way or help her necessarily.
No.
Obviously he wants a Democrat to win, but I don't think there's any personal allegiance to the Clintons from Biden.
No. And I get the idea, you know, saving the party, so to speak, if they see Hillary's in trouble but you've got to think, especially if he's going to pick Elizabeth Warren as his running mate, which is what everyone is saying. I'm not saying it's to screw her over.
I wouldn't be too sure about that.
What about her being his selection?
Anybody's running mate, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, that's of course just all speculation at this point, but that's kind of the rumor now. But even so, just the fact, you know, for him to be running when it's of course just presumed Hillary is going to be the candidate, You know, Bernie Sanders is now becoming a viable candidate. So I don't think, you know, it's anything personal to either one of them. I think he would be doing it for himself. The fact that he thinks, you know, maybe this is his time. It's probably his last shot.
Right.
And it definitely is. That maybe
it is
wide open.
He's already pretty old, to be honest.
Yeah.
As is Bernie and Hillary. You know, the Democratic Party's been the party of the young, whatever, and now it's kind of a bunch of old farts, to be honest. Let me put it another way. You bring up a good point, because I read somewhere today, well, the reason Biden really wants to get in the race is that he thinks the critical issue is going to be talking about income inequality, and Hillary's not really the best spokesman to do that. It's like, well, if you're all hot on that, there's already another candidate in the race who's doing well. His name's Bernie Sanders.
Well,
so,
that's his thing.
Right.
That's Bernie's thing.
Right, right.
So
you may be right. It just – look, maybe it's about him, and supposedly Beau Biden on his deathbed said, you know, you need to run and whatever. I'm not convinced Joe Biden is going to run. I'm certainly convinced he's – thoroughly examining it and taking all the steps if he would run to get ready. But when it comes down to it, I'm not convinced that he is going to jump into the race for a number of reasons. First of all, which he's way behind the eight ball now. We're well into things that are rolling along here, and a lot of people have already kind of, you know, hitched their wagon to Hillary or Bernie or whatever.
Right.
It's kind of late to just sort of jump in the game and think you're going to catch up to that, assuming there isn't a huge scandal that knocks off Bernie or Hillary or whatever. And then plus second from that, if he did jump in the race, that would be fine. He's a good debater, and I like Joe, and I wouldn't be too worried about it. But if he runs and he just loses again, which seems like the most likely possibility, then he's just – a guy who ran – I mean, yeah, he was vice president, but he ran for president three times and didn't sniff the nomination. And, you know, that's the legacy you want to leave with? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this, because it is sort of surprising if he does enter the race, especially at this point, like you said. But I think there's two good possible reasons for this. So I want to know if you think it's one or maybe both of these. You know, given what's happening right now, I see either – A, he sees Trump all out of nowhere, you know, someone who, just like you said, is, you know, basically, I guess, gaffe-proof at this point. He says whatever crazy thing, and people seem to love it. So
right.
Joe's thinking,
right.
I can do that.
yeah, but that's
okay,
only
so,
that's only part of the equation. If because, see, if Trump was Senator Trump saying a bunch of crazy shit, then it would be much different. Trump is the political outsider who's saying a bunch of crazy shit, so that makes him even more appealing.
And it's appealing, of course, to the other side, a different base, people
right.
who could care less about political correctness, and that's what
right,
they're
right.
looking
it,
for
it's
is
not
crazy
like,
racist outbursts.
Right, it's not like these people in Alabama who are hot on – Trump are all going to sudden going to like Biden if he jumps in the race and says whatever, you know, crazy stuff from a left perspective. It's not, you know.
It doesn't work the other way, I guess.
No,
all
no.
Right, and then my other theory, I want to know what if you think this has any teeth, maybe controversial view, but my other choice B here, what if, being very close to the situation, what if he knows or suspects that there is something to the whole Hillary Clinton server, that he knows the shit's going to go down, and so he's trying to kind of build momentum now because he sees it coming. Do you think that has any teeth to it?
No, because it was always kind of on the fence that Biden might run, he might not, you know.
Why now?
Well, because if there was this blood in the water that connected people knew about, there would be more than Biden at the gates. You know, I think Elizabeth Warren would probably be more likely to want to throw her hat in there, and probably a couple other people. I mean, this is a pretty small field here. This is as crazy as it's been on one side. I can't remember a Democratic field being so tiny with basically nobody in it. I mean, yeah, Webb and Chafee and O'Malley are technically running, but they're not getting any traction. They're not going anywhere.
They're not getting any media.
Yeah, I'm not buying the there's the secret Clinton bombshell about to drop
Okay.
No.
Well, and it's true. It's crazy. I mean, it's almost they're treating it as if Hillary is an incumbent. Like there is no challenger. It was just presumed. That's it. She's what we are going with. So everyone's kind of deferring to her.
Right. Which is refreshing to see Bernie Sanders get in and be an actual second candidate. Granted, he's still way behind in most of the polls, but he's at least making noise, and he's going to be there on the debate stage, and people are starting to take him seriously as a potential candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we need to see. Like I said, when push comes to shove for the Democratic side, when they actually get into the debates and we hear some more specifics, because right now Bernie's, you know, kind of a hot trend and people are going to the rallies, but, you know, we need a little more substance before we see if it'll last.
Well, it's out there. Bernie's got
Biden
substance.
Biden would make it interesting.
Bernie's got substance. It's just not being covered, because what the press is covering are the big rallies, because that's the news story. Right. Look how many people. Okay, well, what about, you know, he actually just laid out a very comprehensive criminal justice reform package. None of them are talking about that. On the liberal side, like the liberal blogosphere type stuff, they are, because of the Black Lives Matter thing. But most of the Beltway press is just saying, look how many people are showing up to see him. You know, it's style over substance. That's what they care about, and that's what people are hearing.
Of course. Well, and that's why, realistically, we hate to say it, but I don't know how far Bernie's going to get, because, his style is not exactly his strongest point at this stage. Hillary's got the name, stepped in, you know, it would be more wide open, I think. But everyone just kind of backed off and said, all right, Hillary, here you go. It's yours. You know, Bernie's the only one who even just had the balls to challenge her. I think that's why he's even in the first place.
And some of that is probably in Biden's mind, too. Like, look, there shouldn't be anybody just – if they're not running for reelection, they shouldn't just be anointed. You know, they should have some actual debates here. So from that perspective, I understand. But here's what I'm most heartened by the Bernie Sanders thing. You know, even if it's not necessarily about Bernie, which, you know, a lot of it is, a lot of these people really like what Bernie has to say, and they like him and they want him to win and think he can win. I'm not really among them, to be honest, although I will caucus for him. The thought was, okay, well, we had the Obama thing, but now is there going to be this young, energized base of Democratic voters who are going to be involved and are going to be excited and are going to show up? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, they are. And Bernie has showed that. Now, if it's not Bernie as the nominee, are they still going to get excited and vote for Hillary? Maybe not as excited, but, you know, if it's Hillary v. Scott Walker or Bush, then they probably will.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how it all shakes out. But, I mean, for now, yeah, it is refreshing to see Bernie at least in it. And I think there is a lot more substance than people have heard about, at least. And I don't think if he does surge, it won't be because of what Hillary didn't do and what they found. You know, hopefully
it'll
be on
it could.
His policies.
It could. Well. But I don't think it's hard for me to imagine that this email thing is going to go anywhere. It's just kind of going to hang out there as this thing that makes people feel weird about her. But it's hard for me to imagine that's going to cost her the presidency.
It's still, when it comes down to it, you know how people vote, the majority, sadly, of people, it's the likability, the relatability factor. You know what I mean? Obama had it. He's a cool guy. He's very relatable. He speaks naturally on a
macro level. She suffers with that, but on a micro level, she does pretty well when she gets out there and does the town halls and the one-on-one stuff on the campaign trail. She actually does pretty well. And that's why Bernie is not making a lot of headway in places like Iowa. Because she's on the ground there and she's very engaged, and nobody who shows up to her town halls and whatever is asking about the stupid email thing. They don't give a crap. No. So yeah, on a macro level, it looks bad, and people hyperventilate when her negative favorability's up. But you're asking like a random smattering of 1,000 people all over the country, and that's not how the primaries work. So, mm-hmm. Not to say those numbers should be completely ignored, but they can definitely be overvalued.
True. My concern, I guess, and I say that because, you know, if she does get the nomination, you know, I will completely support her.
Of course.
Because,
yeah.
You know.
What's the fucking alternative?
Because, exactly. Other than, these nuts. Sorry.
It just doesn't get old. Well, I won't
give up. These nuts.
It never gets old. You know what
D's nuts is? To go back and borrow from our other podcast a bit. Remember the movie Brewster's Millions, which in most respects was sort of just a silly movie, but it did bring up some interesting things in that movie. And one of them is this Richard Pryor character says, you know, all these people running for mayor are these horrible, corrupt assholes, so just vote none of the above. And that's kind
of the above.
Yeah, that's kind of what the D's nuts thing is, in a way.
That's right.
So it's kind of interesting. It's more than just people, you know, being snarky Twitter people like we are. And so I hope D's nuts.
Although there's a lot of those nowadays. there's quite a bit.
That's a growing constituency.
Let's put it that way. No, okay. What I was saying before, though, is yes, I will support her 100% if she is, you know, the nominee. I don't know. My concern is that I just see compared to like 2008, she doesn't have as much relatability. I was a lot more of a fan back then until, you know, Barack came along, and of course, you know, I was blown away by him, and then I put all my support by him. I didn't really see that coming, but, you know, obviously that caught on. I don't know. She just I think she's suffered since then, even though her clout has grown and her presumed nomination is stronger. It's just, I don't know. I think the relatability is less and less as time goes on, and I think that's why you see someone like Bernie Sanders or, you know, whoever it is surging, and I think
it's less for our,
you know, someone like Trump.
It's less for our demographic. It's less for the younger Gen X / millennial types, but in reality, we're still a very small portion of the Democratic voting base.
True.
And they're still a little icky about quote socialism, even if that is a boogeyman.
It's a dirty word.
It's a dirty word. That's part of it, and it's also, you know, you got a lot of people who were really into Hillary and really like Hillary. A lot of women are looking to for somebody to finally break that glass ceiling, and it's not going to be Sarah Palin, and it's not going to be Carly Fiorina. That's going to be a very, very hard block of very set voters to move. I don't think they care what is found on that server, if anything, and they're not going to find anything. But, it's hard to take the long view and see a true path to victory for Bernie, because I'm thinking about all the momentum he can muster. And I see this dug-in block of people who are not going to waver in their support for Hillary, and there's just not enough of them that Bernie can pick off. Certainly not in places where she's been campaigning for, you know, since 2008, basically.
Forever.
Yeah, it's just a tough uphill slog.
Right. Well, that's true. She has that base that's been in place for her since 2008, and, you know, they've been waiting for this moment, and they're not going to go anywhere.
No.
So. No, and you see the coverage that's on the social media. Like you said, it probably is controlled more by our generation, and the reporting is about Bernie and his rallies and what's going on there. But the base of people who's going to go out and actually vote, course, is going to be the older demographic.
Not to mention on the other side, 99.999% of all the chaff and the you know being thrown at the Democrats is being thrown at her. They're not even talking about Bernie Sanders. They want Bernie Sanders in the race as long as they can because they think it could weaken her, and everything is coming at her. So you know, she's basically taken all of the heat right now. And, you know, things change once everything's set. Like, if we get to this time next year and it's Hillary v. Bush, everything resets and kind of there we are. And it would be shocking if we see the numbers way different from Romney Obama. You know, I just don't see a whole lot of wiggle room. And in fact, it could be worse for Bush in that scenario. I don't know. I just don't. For all the fun we're having now, I don't see this shaping up a hell of a lot differently than it did 4 years ago. I think it's going to be the establishment Republican versus the establishment Democrat, and it's going to sort of level out to what most people expect, unless something cataclysmic happens personally or in the world or something.
Right. Yeah, it would take a major event, but I agree. You know, I've said all along, I think it's going to wind up being Clinton v. Bush. It doesn't look good right now for Jeb, but I mean, realistically, who is it going to be? Because I'm still not going to pretend that Trump is going to be in it a year from now.
Right. And if it's Jeb, he's going to say, you know, he's going to ride in there saying, you know, let's go to war with Iran, and I've got all my Iraq war advisors for my brother's presidency, and more tax cuts for the rich. Who cares about, you know, waffle on immigration reform, and who cares about income inequality versus, you know, Obama light? And but she has some email server thing. I mean, how does he win? I don't get it. I don't see it. But in the meantime, even if it does end up that way, you know, Trump being in the race is going to bring a lot of interesting things to light on the Republican side. And Bernie being in the race as long as he can is going to bring up a lot of important conversations on the Democratic side. So even if those two are inevitable, there's still plenty of interesting things that are going to come up here in the prevailing months.
If nothing else, I hope they all stay in it for a while, because that'll give us some good talking points on the show for quite a while, right?
Right.
It'll give us some good
give
material.
Us a reason to, you know, I just campaigned for 10 minutes on why this show is irrelevant, so don't listen to me.
There you go. All right, before we wrap up this episode, let's close out thoughts, of course, on the 14th Amendment. Anything going to happen on that issue in the near future? How long you think it's going to be an issue? And we were also going to make some predictions here. Which of these nominees or candidates, I should say, are not going to be around by the time the next debate comes to see if this is an issue? And who's going to drop out? Let's get a top three. Who would be
think,
the first?
I think Rand Paul's days are numbered. Even though the
the
Kentucky legislature gave him a big win on Saturday by changing state law so he can run for president and Senate, which they weren't sure was going to happen, but they did. But he's got all kinds of problems. A lot of his biggest campaign people are in some legal trouble. He's not gaining enough traction. He's got money issues. That built-in Ron Paul base is just dwindling, and they don't really seem that excited about Rand. I don't see him in much longer. Christie's toast. I can't imagine how long Christie's going to go on. He's just not getting any traction, and he has a mountain of bad things on the horizon. Bridgegate is not over. People think it's over. It's not over. We're just a few months away from getting to the really good stuff. So, you know, him and his supporters keep saying they're out of the woods. They're not. And even before we've gotten to that, he can't get any traction going. He's toast. Christie's toast. I don't see Jindal staying in a hell of a lot longer. Rick Perry is on life support. He's talking defiantly right now because Texas, but he's out of money. He's not paying his staffers. He's not getting any traction. Nobody's very excited about Rick Perry. I think he's a matter of weeks. I think
were they ever?
No.
Not even in Texas. I can tell you for a fact. People are ready to ship him off.
yeah.
to another state.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, Texas has got its own problems. It seems like everybody in the every Republican in the state house is facing like indictment or arrest or something every other day. You know, that's Texas politics as usual, I guess. Yeah, Jindal.
Yeah, and Greg Abbott. No, sorry to say, Greg Abbott makes Rick Perry look fairly sane in comparison. The whole Jade Helm thing.
Yeah,
yeah. So.
Lots of Texas mugshots. So. And Jade Helm, right? Jade Helm is didn't turn out the way I guess everybody was hoping. Obama didn't take over Texas, unfortunately. So,
unfortunately, and the attorney general here in Texas is also is under fire. For
oh, not
for
Abbott. I'm sorry, it's the AG who's under indictment for something.
He's the one under indictment. No, Abbott's just a crazy asshole. There's that.
Well, maybe he's next. I get them all confused. You understand?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, no, I agree. Jindal, you know, really, does anybody care at this point? Santorum is non-existent. I think he's got to go soon.
No, he's not cutting. He's not cutting into the evangelical base of Huckabee or Ted Cruz. So, but he may hang around a while more. I don't know. But I think he'll be out soon. Jim Gilmore never really had a campaign, nor did Pataki.
No, Gilmore started late, so he may wait around a little longer. Lindsey Graham has got to go. He literally has no supporters. I mean, I don't know who
is. No, but he – well, see, Lindsey Graham doesn't have a big reason to get out. He's not – angling to spend a ton of money on campaigning anyway. He's sort of got his own built-in system that he's built over the years via his congressional stuff. And so he's got a platform to sort of push his war with everybody agenda. So I don't necessarily think he's going to get out all that soon, although that's obviously inevitable. But I would say by this time in a couple weeks, three or four less candidates at least, I think, are going to be on the docket. I think you're going to have two officially drop out and two de facto dropped out.
Right. Well, we shall see. But this issue obviously is not going to go away. Immigration is just going to be the big issue of this election, apparently. So, like it or not, Trump has dictated U.S. policy without even ever doing a damn thing in office. He's directing the conversation, in other words. So we'll see what happens. But any closing thoughts before we go?
No, I actually think we're going to pivot from immigration to something else soon. If the stock market keeps tanking, some economic thing, and of course it'll be blamed on Obama and Hillary from some angle. I'm just not sure what that angle will be yet. Overregulation or something. Can't complain about gas prices anymore because the oil stocks tanking is one of the big things. No, we'll pivot off something. And just real quick, if Trump does have an Achilles heel, I don't know what's going to happen once they finally really start throwing around the gay marriage, gay rights stuff in this campaign. Which is a little surprising that it hasn't been that big yet, because it was such a big deal just a month ago. It's all immigration now. But because Trump has been very moderate, if not gay friendly, so unless he does a 180, which he could, and all of a sudden says that no gay rights and, you know, I hate gay marriage and whatever, that's not going to fly with all those Alabama folks who love him. So that's going to be interesting to see. One thing I will tell you is that I'm less convinced that Trump is just going to punk out after a little while. I think he's going to stay in for a good long while, even if he does start to slip. And I also discount less the idea of him running as a third party guy. I think that's more of a possibility than people think.
I can see that, just because he's pissing off so many Republicans and he seems to really not care.
No.
And he's come out and said, well, yeah, I, he does, you know, on Face the Nation, he's being interviewed now every week. And, you know, he's, oh, well, you know, in Manhattan, everybody's a Democrat. And so, yeah, I ran as a Democrat because that's just how you, you know, you just get the election. You just say you're a Democrat. He goes, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm older now. I'm more conservative. So I'm a Republican. But he doesn't seem to really care. He's basically saying, like, I don't care what you call me.
Right.
So, yeah, I could see that, you know, the more he kind of splits from the traditional base, mm-hmm. He's, you know, if he's still going strong and he decides, you know, I can do it without you guys. Yeah, I definitely see that as a possibility.
But more than that, think about this. If Trump just drops out, he drops out. If he stays as the third party candidate, even knowing he's not going to win, and he gets 15 or 20% of the vote, he can then say, hey, look, I got 25 million votes. That's something. Exactly.
And right, and he's the type of person who would be perfectly happy to screw over everybody else in the party he was running for because he only cares about himself. And so he'll point to his numbers, not his party, you know, because just like he was the first one or only one to raise his hand and say, yeah, I'll run as an independent.
Especially
or,
if
I won't support.
Right. Especially if it's Bush who's the eventual nominee.
Oh, yeah.
Because he really seems to have a good deal of disdain for Bush. Yeah.
Well, because that's seen as the biggest threat. Because coming in, he was, you know, presumed to be.
I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that. I think Trump viscerally enjoys beating up on Jeb. And I don't think he would lose any sleep screwing over Jeb in a general election if it came down to it.
In that sense, I applaud Mr. Trump. Only in that sense.
Stay in as long as you can, Donald. You are just so source of so much entertainment. But no, because not really, because it is leading to assholes, you know, beating homeless people and God knows what else. So, part of me wants him to stay in. Part of me wants him to just go away. Regardless, he's going to be in for a while, and he's going to bring some ugly truths to light about the whole conservative movement and the Republican Party. There's just no denying that anymore.
Oh yeah, oh, it's all going to come out. And like I said, the more this goes on, and it's about Hillary, it's going to shift from, you know, the anti-immigrant stance to basically the anti-woman stance. You're going to see a lot of that.
Sexism
is already coming out.
Cruz is on his big defund Planned Parenthood thing, and then you can't go that route without that bleeding into a bunch of other stuff. Pardon the pun. To borrow a Trumpism, that's coming. That's on the horizon. If Republican strategists are cringing at all the immigration stuff, oh boy, you wait till we get into gay marriage and contraception and women's rights and all the good stuff coming down the pike. It's going to be ugly.
Just going to say, if you think immigration is a touchy subject, the whole Planned Parenthood thing, it's a harder pill to swallow for the press and to cover. But it's got to be talked about. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. All right. I think that's about it for this episode. Thank you for listening. We are on iTunes and Stitcher, which is probably where you're listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And look for us again next week.
We got a big bump in new listeners over the weekend. I don't know where from and how. I'm trying to figure out why. But thanks, and spread the word, and keep listening.
Yep, tell your friends, your enemies, and your neighbor's dog, and spread the word. We are Irreverent Testimony. Thanks for listening.
Adios.